You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vargas? We don't need no Vargas. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
I've always depended on the kindness. Strange.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Would you be shocked if I put on something more comfortable?
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you guys get your podcasts. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio today is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am good today.
Just today?
Yeah, just today.
Just today.
You caught me on a good day.
Are you ready to get dangerous?
Ooh.
Deep cut.
Yes.
Deep cut.
Yes.
All right, because we are talking Chip and Dale.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, but you said dangerous.
He cameos.
But still.
And we want that Darkwing Duck movie.
We do.
But we are talking the newish Chip and Dale movie that came out on Disney Plus
about a month ago.
Yeah, about
a little less than a month ago.
And we have a fair amount to talk about, surprisingly, for this movie. This movie was a pleasant surprise. I can speak for myself. I don't know about Sean. Sean, pleasant surprise?
I don't know about surprise. I think I got what I expected. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there were a few added bonuses and a few things I liked and a few things that I thought were a little like eh.
Yeah, a little eh.
But other than that, I agree. It was very good. I enjoyed it.
It's the Roger Rabbit sequel we never got.
It's our Roger Rabbit today. Like, this is what Roger Rabbit did back then, but it's no comparison to Roger Rabbit as a movie.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, that's totally fair. So before we get started, Sean, I do believe you have some news.
I do, sir. So not much news, but you know, since we did our last episode, which as you all would know by now, since you all listen to us all the time, we did our episode on Top Gun Maverick. That has passed $800 million as of today.
Woof.
And it is now officially Tom Cruise's biggest hit ever in his career, which is surprising, really, when you think about it, but with all the Mission Impossible movies and stuff
like that.
So that has passed 800 million, and Buzz Lightyear, well, just Lightyear, opened up into the theaters yesterday and did it okay, 5.2 million. Honestly, where we are in the world today, I don't know what is considered good and what is considered not good. I think 5 million for a Thursday, you know, right at the beginning of summer is pretty good for a movie like that. We'll see, obviously, how it does over the next week, you know, if it goes up. I'm sure it will, because again, there's not much out right now for kids.
There's some competition though in terms of just mainstream movies. You got Jurassic World.
And Jurassic World's out. Actually, I have not looked at the numbers for that.
All right, well, you look at that.
I will look up at that.
So Jurassic World is out, and obviously Lightyear, like you said. So there are plenty of there are a couple of movies that are out right now, and then.
But this is geared towards younger audiences. Jurassic World's not.
Are you sure?
Depends on the parents.
Pretty sure I saw some of the Jurassic movies in theaters.
I'm not saying I didn't see them. I'm just... all right. As of right now, worldwide, Jurassic World's at $429 million.
Okay. So, I mean...
So, it's making money.
Yeah, it should.
It's already made its budget back, so, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Who knows when we're going to go see it?
Maybe next weekend.
Maybe.
Who knows? I'm off.
I don't know, Paul.
I don't know. I'm just here along for the ride. Any other news that you wanted to bring
up? That's honestly really about it. Nothing else really, you know, jumped out at me.
Nothing jumped out at you?
No, nothing jumped out at me. Unless you know of something and you're just hiding it from me.
I don't know. I got nothing. But we do have a couple of fun episodes coming up, though, if you want to do cinematic news. We're going to do Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Stranger Things.
We didn't have a production meeting before this, so I'm kind of like, you know,
what are you talking about? We haven't had a production meeting in years.
Well, the last two episodes of the season come to Netflix in two and a half weeks. So, yeah, we'll definitely... Are we going to do a whole month on Stranger Things?
No, we're not doing a whole month on Stranger Things.
How are we going to do this?
Well, we'll do one episode on one and then one episode on the other two.
So, you just want to do season four?
Yeah, yeah, just season four.
Oh, because we've never done seasons one, two, or three.
We've never done all the Jurassic Parks, and we still are going to do Jurassic Park.
Are we, though?
Are we, though? But we do have a couple of things in the pipeline, and we got a bunch of retro reviews that we're going to be working on at the end.
You're off in 2 weeks, so I know, we better have a backlog, finally, where we don't have to see your face every week.
Wow. This is our socializing. We're actually very good friends in real life. Jeez.
Are we...
You're worse than Chip, man. Wow. Oof.
Chip wasn't the bad one. Dale was the idiot.
Dale managed to figure out an entire complicated secret message.
Right. You were thinking something totally different. Yeah.
Yeah. We are going to, by the way, full spoilers for this movie when we jump into it. But first and foremost, Sean, did you watch Chip and Dale as a child?
Not religiously, no. I was weird with cartoons as a kid. Like, I watched the Nickelodeon cartoons, like Doug, Rugrats, and those. The Disney Afternoon ones, I really didn't watch a lot because... Because
Gargoyles was too scary for you?
No, I
that would have been a fun cameo in this movie.
I'm trying to think, honestly. You know, you got home at like 3 o'clock from school, and you had to do homework. And by the time I was done my homework, I don't think those shows were even on anymore.
Joke's on you. I just didn't do my homework.
Yeah, where did it get you?
Doing okay, I guess. Yeah, but I like the Disney stuff. I was a big fan. Like, I would watch the Mighty Ducks cartoon.
I did watch the Mighty Ducks. I watched, you know, in reruns. Like, I didn't watch them in the afternoon, but, like, when they were on the Disney Channel and then when Toon Disney came out. And,
oh, Toon Disney. Solid cut.
They would show all of these, you know, Chip and Dale, all the movies that were made into TV shows. Aladdin, Hercules. Timon and Pumbaa.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Little Mermaid had
Did
a
you
show.
Ever see the Aladdin and Hercules crossover?
I did not.
It was actually surprisingly good. Yep. Because that was a big thing, taking like the popular movies and making them into animated shows.
Yeah.
So
because it was smart. Continue the stories, yeah. and you know, try and get a lot of popularity out of
cash grab.
Well, yeah.
Excuse me. Merchandising got stuck in my throat.
Merchandising.
I actually like how they do address a lot of that stuff in this movie. This movie's super meta, and I'm all about it.
And what I like, well, because Chip and Dale is part of that original Disney afternoon cartoon.
Yeah, they were a staple of it.
That was a staple, along with DuckTales, Tailspin, Gummy Bears.
All right, hold on. Who'd win in a fight?
Here we go.
The Chip and Dale theme song or the DuckTales theme song?
Ooh, that is good. I think that fight would last about 13 rounds, and I think... A slight edge would have to go for me to Chip and Dale.
Really? I would go DuckTales.
Not by much, I just think a slight edge would go.
That's the most excited you've been for one of my Hood winning a
fight
ever.
That was actually a good one. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you told me the Gummy Bears theme versus any of those, I'd be like, Gummy Bears theme in a second.
I know. I can't even. I won't even put it into the competition. That's
I know,
just not fair. But it's funny because this was also the time where theme songs were on.
Oh, God. Goof Troop.
Power Rangers. They don't do theme songs for TV shows anymore.
No, not really. They don't really do opening credit scenes for them. Like, it's funny. Producer Melanie is a huge fan of Friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of sitcoms nowadays don't have that type of opening theme song
right.
or opening, you know, intro. A lot of it, because networks are getting smarter now and they're like, why are we wasting 2 minutes to an intro when that could be 2 more minutes of commercials?
Yeah.
And they just have the credits rolling over the show as it's starting. So a lot of shows don't even do that really anymore. Like Law & Order. Law & Order was huge for its opening theme.
Dun-dun.
A lot of dramas now really don't have one.
Yeah. It's funny because like the CW went into narration. Like that was their thing for every show.
Does Superman and Lois do that?
They don't, as far as I know. Not in season... In season one, the first episode, he does narration, but it's very few and far between. I don't think it does it for... Like Supergirl, it just kind of does the logo. But then Flash and Arrow, they changed to just like an opening title sequence.
All right.
Because you remember, my name is Barry Allen.
It would just get repetitive.
Very repetitive. So, and then, or you got just the basic title cards, you know, like Lucifer had a basic title card with.
I think most shows do that now, like the title cards.
Yeah.
Lucifer. Then, like, created by, you know, and stuff like that.
Lucifer had a really good, like, just basically like a guitar and vocal riff. It was really fun.
Well, don't forget the one show we both enjoyed,
Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
See, I knew you were going to say Smallville.
See?
Did you hear that they're doing a podcast, those two? Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum?
No, I did not, but I would love to listen to that.
Michael Rosenbaum has a fantastic podcast called Inside of You.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
I've seen YouTube videos of his interviews.
He does a really good job.
I mean, he's not Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes, but he gets a lot out of the guys out of the people he interviews, and he has some good questions, and he does pretty good.
My only challenge with him is he'll cut to commercial, and it'll be like a 5-minute commercial sequence of like 72 different things.
Because
he's much more popular than us.
Well, yeah, and you got to get the money from these.
Yeah, I know. I'm all about it, but it's very jarring at first.
It was very jarring
the first
Michael,
time.
Michael, come back to me!
No, it's still Michael talking, but now I need to get a new mattress and use his code. Not even joking. That was one of his things. It's so funny. But yeah, by the way, raise energy, repsports.com. Use our code cinematic, 20% off.
Do you still put the ad in the episode?
I do, but now they also hear it here now. It's very jarring, I'm told.
Oh, folks, please go out and buy that raise.
I love raise.
You do love raise.
I do love raise.
You're the only person I know who likes raise.
Ronnie likes raise.
Okay, that's two.
How dare you? You don't drink energy drinks, though. That's
I
why.
Don't. I don't see so the fascination with them.
You drink coffee?
Not religiously.
Well, unreligiously? What's the opposite of religiously? Awesome. This episode's going all over the place.
I don't live on coffee. I couldn't drink that much coffee.
Shockingly, too, because your work schedule's crazy. But so going back to Chip and Dale, finally.
Oh, well, yeah, is that what we're talking about?
A little bit. I do wish that... So this movie was very, very PG with a couple of exceptions.
Yes. See, I wouldn't call this a kid's movie. There was a lot of jokes in this movie that go over... To me, at least, I think would go over a lot of kids' heads.
And I'm really glad they got the Chip and Dale's joke out.
Yes.
And very... And right in the beginning. I was like,
kind of surprised they went there.
I'm surprised they were able to get away with it.
It's Disney Plus. It's
Disney Plus. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, they just showed an episode of Obi-Wan with younglings dying.
That's true.
But anyway, so
Daredevil on Disney Plus now.
That's
so,
true. Yeah, that's true.
As long as your parental controls are set to TVMA, you're good.
Oh God, we're living in a magical time where Disney has TVMA on it. But for me, like, I know I asked you, but I remember watching Chip and Dale, but it wasn't one of my go-to shows.
No.
I was more Gargoyles, because I like Chip and Dale and I like the concept, but they just never were like the ones that I jumped to.
Fun fact.
Hit it.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers was originally developed to be a TV show of the Rescuers.
Oh, okay. All right. Who'd win in a fight? Chip and Dale or the Rescuers? No help.
No help?
No help. Ugh. I know.
I don't know.
I feel like Chip and Dale would be...
Chip and Dale... Because
the rescuers
really
were a little too posh.
Yeah, I think Chip and Dale would find a way to win, but that's not a fight I would like to see someone lose because I like both.
I do like both. Yeah, those are fun characters.
I love the Rescuers movies, both of them.
Oh yeah,
I enjoy both of them.
I am one
much.
Of the rarity that I saw the second one before I saw
Me
the first
too.
One, and
Me too.
I like the second one better. And I think that's
fair. That's absolutely fair. Great. I still love the opening scene to the second one. I think that's one of the best animated scenes I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna talk about animation for this too, but so. For me, like I said, I was never a big fan of the show. Like, nah. I knew it. I didn't dislike it.
I watched it more as I got older.
Yeah.
When I would find it on, again, the Disney Channel and stuff like that. But as a kid, I don't remember religiously watching it.
No. I knew Chip and Dale from a lot of...
religiously, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know why.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Not really.
Becoming a priest or something?
Not at all.
Not even a little. That's Ronnie's job. But
so true.
Yeah. So Chip and Dale have been around for a long time, since the 40s.
Yes. I think the first cartoon they were in was a Donald Duck commercial.
No, it was the 1943 Pluto short, Private Pluto. I think they still have like something of a rivalry, too.
Well, originally it was Chip and Dale versus Pluto, and then Chip and Dale versus Donald Duck. Those were like the big back and forths between the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So before we go into the plot, I don't know if we're actually going to do really the plot by point. They negate Chip and Dale having a career before the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. So basically, the fact that Chip and Dale were cartoon characters back, in the 40s, that doesn't exist in this movie, which you live with it. I don't, it was all right.
I try not to think of the logistics of this movie. Like, how is a toon born? Apparently they age.
They age, but not enough that that last episode aired in 1990, so it's been 32 years, and they look like exactly the same as they did.
Oh, no, Dale got the CGI surgery.
He got the CGI surgery, that's right.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that, too, because I thought it was hilarious.
It was. I really enjoy this movie. I thought they handled a lot of the fun tropes of animation in the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But before we jump into the actual movie, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, that was expensive. Please put that back. When we come back, not enough. We're going to talk about Chip and Dale. But first, a quick break.
Not that Chip and Dale.
All right, we are back and we are breaking down Chip and Dale. Unless Dale's just doing another failed pilot and they break down themselves.
Double O Dale!
Yeah.
Fun fact, I read in the trivia that apparently Double O Duck was originally a planned TV show back in the early 90s. And Double O is apparently copyrighted by the producers of the Bond films.
Really? Double O is
copyrighted? Double O is copyrighted, so they eventually turned it into Darkwing Duck.
Let's get dangerous.
So, fun fact for your fanny pack right there.
Fun fact fanny pack coming in hot. You know what I've... And one of the things that I really wish that they had mentioned in this movie was the fact that Baloo is like the king of the multiverse. He's been in like 15 different shows.
Yeah, that's right.
Like Tailspin, a couple of other things too. It's the same animation that he is that they use for Little John. Like,
yeah, no, the Robin Hood Little John is Baloo. It's the same voice actor too.
But yeah,
Tailspin, Jungle Book, the new Jungle Book.
I like how they actually say it's the new Jungle Book.
Yeah, because he got the 3D surgery. Didn't get Bill Murray to voice him, though. That would have been funny.
That would have been legendary, but there's no way.
I would have liked it if they got the guy, because the original actor, Phil Harris, who voiced Baloo, obviously is no longer with us, but I'm pretty sure they had someone doing that sort of voice for the rest of Tailspin, so I would have liked to have heard that voice.
Really. Or even if they had just used audio.
Something, but something the voice was very not Baloo.
Yeah, oh no. I mean, we only hear him for a second. He only has one line.
You know. You know Baloo's voice when you hear it.
Like, you know Baloo's voice.
I do know Baloo's voice.
He does the soft, jazzy...
Little britches.
So let's break down this movie really quick. A movie... Stop doing that. Is that going to be your new shtick?
I never had a shtick.
You got to find one, because mine is now who'd win in a fight.
That's true.
Yeah. So this world is... It's co-inhabited by people and cartoons.
Yes.
Very a la... You know, Roger Rabbit.
It's a la Roger Rabbit, but you never got a sense that humans and Toons coexisted in the same world in Roger Rabbit. Like, Toons had their area.
Yeah.
And humans had their area. Here, it's like human toon. Like, that is the world. It's very similar to the Happy Time Murders. Remember that movie with the spoof on the Muppets?
Yeah.
It was that sort of thing where Muppets and humans lived together and everything coexisted, you know, that type of thing. So it's similar to Roger Rabbit, but not 100% exactly like what Roger Rabbit was. But
yeah, no, I'm with you.
But it immediately starts off with, you know, how Chip and Dale met and, you know, their little kids and yada, 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 and how they became, you know, actors and got their own TV show. So that was interesting. And goes right into how the show ended and how they broke up.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. But for me, like, It really kind of sets the tone in the very beginning. You know, it captures the characters. You know, Chip is the more serious, focused one. Dale's the jokester, the prankster, the one who's always goofing around. And then he actually is the one that does break them up, unfortunately. But you do see his reasoning for it.
Yeah.
Like, he's the joke, and they treat him like the joke. And that starts to wear thin on him, so he wants to be taken a little bit more seriously. And we see how that goes. Yeah. But what did you think about the opening scenes, just setting the tone with the montage and all that?
I mean, it was all right. It didn't blow me away or anything like that. I wanted more just to get into the story. Mm-hmm. I really didn't care about how it all happened. I wanted just to get to the whole plot of the movie, where they're no longer together, how they get back together, and what is the plot of this movie going to be? Because they really hid what this plot was going to be. Like, you didn't know what, you know, the overall storyline was going to be about. Like, what was their mission going to be? What was their, you know, adventure going to be about? So I was intrigued to get to that story point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they didn't drag the opening out. It was fairly quick, you know, the whole how they get going.
It moved along.
You know, so it was like within 15 minutes, we're already into basically the plot of the movie.
And I dug it too. And for me, sorry, I'm like multitasking too.
That's all right.
For me, like, I like how they don't explain things. It's not like, oh, these are the Toons, these are the this. It's not like it was in the original Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
Where it was like, all right, well, you know, these are all the things that, you know, Toons do this and you don't do that and blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. I did really enjoy it. And like, it starts off and then you jump into the convention. And this is the stuff that we wanted. We wanted all the fan stuff and all the cameos and all that.
Yes. And this is where it gets, you know, like, you know, meta, you know, where it's like,
yeah, this is where it starts.
So again, we get the Baloo cameo, we get the Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast cameo, and I'm sorry, when Ugly Sonic shows up, I laughed out loud because I just thought that was hysterical. Mm-hmm. How they were able to actually, the fact that, because I don't know who owns Sonic.
Sega
owns them, so.
I don't know.
But yeah. Like in terms of movie rights, so like the fact that they were able to get the rights to put the character in there.
Oh, it's so good.
I want to deep dive into what they had to do to get all the rights to these characters. Like, you know, they go to Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Hey, we want to put, you know, Randy Marsh into this movie. He's not going to speak any lines, but can we do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. You know, give us $1 million. Something like that.
Something like that.
But, you know, we get a, you know, Ugly Sonic camera. We get a Baloo. You know, so we immediately start off with seeing some of these characters that we know and stuff like that. And, you know, it's fun. Even in the beginning, in the opening montage, you see the, you know, a few cameos from characters that you recognize. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
I think like the teacher is like Clarabelle or it was like one of the.
All right. So I do have a list of cameos from this.
A list.
All right. So I'll go through it very quickly because, you know, we'll talk about the ones we want to talk about. So the teacher is Clarabelle Cow.
Thank you.
As one of Minnie's closest friends. And she's the teacher in the very beginning.
Love the Donald Duck one. Not Donald Duck cameo, but like when they're walking into the school and she goes, what are you doing? You're not Donald Duck. Put on pants.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where you constantly are looking at everything in it. And you're like, where, and sometimes I do find that distracting, though.
You have to watch it once and then you can go back and do that.
Yeah, I don't
like,
want to do that.
I won't lie. I watched it again right before I came here. So I was trying to like find again all the different, you know, cameos and you know, anything I missed the first time around. But that I agree with you. It could throw you out of the loop, but watch the movie as a whole. And then if you like it and you want to, you know, see more, go back and watch a little more detailed and, you know, pause, do that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So going down, we have Blaster, who's an Autobot from the Transformers. Again, it's crazy some of these like cross cameos that they were actually able to do.
Yeah.
A lot of different trademarks and genres and all this stuff. It's very interesting. But he's sitting in the talent show watching Chip and Dale perform. We have McScat Cat. I have no clue who that is. Yep. Famous for starring in the music video with Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract. He's the DJ at the party that they go to.
And that's Paula Abdul in there, too.
That's so funny. On the dance floor, we have the Three Little Pigs, Practical, Fiddler, and Pfeiffer. I guess those are their actual names. Yeah. Roger Rabbit appears in that scene, too. And
our first ever appearance of Roger Rabbit in over 30 years.
It's crazy. I'm still so sad we never got a sequel to that.
Yeah. Thank you, Steven Spielberg.
So then, go into the FanCon cameos. Baloo makes his appearance as his CGI version. And let's see, we have Trusty from Lady and the Tramp is playing the saxophone. Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast has a booth right next to Dale. Tigra has another booth. Let's see.
What is Tigra from? I didn't.
She's a Marvel character.
Marvel character, yeah. Okay.
We got the Lost Boy Cubby from Peter Pan, which is weird because he didn't age.
No.
So I have so many follow-up questions.
I agree with you.
There's so many logistics. Oh, that just...
come on. What did Peter Pan say that you had to have, like, just fist bumped in the air when he said it?
I don't know which. I've only seen this movie once.
Bangarang.
Oh, yeah. It was a good one.
He said that, I lost it. I was like, pretty funny. Yes!
Let's see. My Little Pony characters, Skeletor and He-Man. That was pretty funny.
Same voices as the original, voices, too.
A giant Voltron appears, but I think he's just a mannequin. And obviously Paul Rudd as Paul Rudd making an Ant-Man joke, which was originally called Ant-Man. And his power is simply being hit
that
with
is
ants.
The dumbest joke ever, but because it's him, I actually laugh.
And they do like the poster at the end, yes. So in the credits. Yeah.
That's how much I like Paul Rudd.
Oh, he's just so charming. He's just so incredibly charming.
If Seth Rogen did that, I'd be like, I don't find it funny.
Yeah, I would find it.
But it's Paul Rudd, and I don't know why. I was like, okay, I can live with that.
Let's see. We had Ugly Sonic, obviously, who makes...
He actually has a decent, you know...
Amount
of screen time in this movie.
More than he actually got in the movie.
They both have their moments where they're staring at his human teeth.
It is quite uncomfortable. It is... Like, what were they thinking? We still haven't talked about Sonic the Hedgehog, either the first or the second one, but oh my God. Talk about a time where the studio made the right call listening to the fans. That backlash was insane. I remember seeing the trailer for the first time, and it was like Gangster's Paradise is playing in the background of it, and then it's just like, meow? Shoots him with a taser. Should have killed it with fire. God. See, that makes me also wonder, like, obviously there is another Sonic and a video game and all that stuff. Like, the video game came out first and, you know, this Sonic didn't get...
I've gone cross-eyed.
I know. So where did this Sonic come from? Why are there two Sonic-looking things? So many questions. It's still fantastic. Let's see. We have The Little House, which is, he calls her Mrs. House, and The Little House is a 1952 Disney short based on the children's book of the same name. In that short, the little house gets lonely at night and wonders if there are any other houses she can talk to.
Aww.
I do like how he has like a house his size, and like when she cracks the beer later on and she's trying to drink it, it's like that small. We have Flounder from The Little Mermaid, who got addicted to krill, and he tries to offer him a dinglehopper. Isn't it neat? It didn't work. We have Winchell and Duncan from Wreck-It Ralph.
The donuts.
Yeah, the donuts.
Donut cops.
Captain Putty's not a cameo, but he's more derivative of Gumby. And I think she even calls him Gumby at one point.
A low rent Gumby.
Yeah, we have so many cars. Thank God Rob's film class is not in session right now, because so many cars.
I thought that was good, because that scene where they're driving the car and the rear bumper falls off, the car behind it looks real. And then all of a sudden the eyes pop out. I'm like, oh,
still
jarring. Come on.
Still so uncomfortable. I really wish Benny the Cab had made a cameo.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
That would have been nice. Or they name drop Jessica Rabbit, but you don't see her.
Shame. I wonder if they're... So, you think about Roger Rabbit. Was it still the same where, like, Roger Rabbit was a movie star in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and this is just the future? Or did Roger Rabbit star in a movie called Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I've gone cross-eyed again. Again, this movie has so many questions of the universe.
This movie is just the typical don't ask, just enjoy.
I want to ask, though. All right, so let's see. Blah, 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 blah. We have from On Main Street. So this is pretty funny. Are you sure this is the right street?
I love that where, like, there are all these, like, you know, nice-looking cartoons, and Chip is just like, oh, this looks really nice. And Dale's just like, nah, drug dealer. You know,
all sorts of weird things.
I shave my fur and I sell it to this guy, you know.
So weird.
It was bizarre, but it was funny, because it was just taking the whole notion of cartoons and turning it upside down. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great.
All right, so in that scene we have Linda Flynn Fletcher, the mother of Phineas and Ferb.
Never watched Phineas and Ferb.
I watched a little bit of it. It's fun. And then the Colonel from 101 Dalmatians is blowing bubbles. Hello. Let's see. Obviously, the cheesemonger Bjornsson seems to be a parody of the Swedish Chef.
It's a Muppet, and then, yeah, it's like it's a take on the Swedish Chef. I love that, where he's like, ooh, you a cop?
Yeah. You guys are cops. Mr. Natural, the barber to whom Dale reportedly sold his chipmunk fur to.
Who's that?
He was created by cartoonist Robert Crumb. The character was a symbol of 1960s counterculture and has since gone on to be used for various merchandising.
Never saw it before in my life. No, interesting. No.
Obviously, Peter Pan. Which is hilarious.
I want to get into that in a little bit.
Okay.
The backstory of that, the way they handled that character.
I would love to. Randy Marsh.
Yeah.
Which was such a random cameo. Which is very funny. Scrooge McDuck in a pool of, obviously, gold coins. And he's voiced by David Tennant. Wow. He didn't even say anything. He just kind of left. I guess.
Or maybe he did and they cut it, or maybe the laugh is his voice. I don't know.
Yep. Obviously, we had Seth Rogen. Cameos from... I really do like how they were like, he's got the Polar Express eyes. It's so true. That was so creepy.
I'll be honest with you. I've never actually really watched the Polar Express all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've seen, you know, the Christmas Carol one that they did. I don't remember the eyes being an issue in that, but I guess more so in Polar Express because it was the first one.
Yeah.
Are you talking to us? Of course I'm talking to you, but
I'm looking right at you.
It looks like you're looking over there. I'm looking at you.
And that made me laugh also with the Uncanny Valley thing, because that's an actual thing. For those of you guys who don't know, the Uncanny Valley is the human reaction to seeing something that's supposed to look real, but isn't.
Yeah.
So in a lot of movies, you can easily tell when things are CGI, because your mind just processes it that way. They don't know why it happens or how it happens, but basically your mind is just able to differentiate between what's real and what's not with stuff like that, especially when it's trying to look human.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you watch The Matrix Reloaded, the scenes where it switches from Keanu Reeves to rubbery PlayStation 2 graphics Keanu Reeves, it's jarring. And you can tell. It's even worse now watching it. But I thought that was a subtle little, like a nice little thing for, you know, us diehard movie fans. We had Detective Flores, who is a character from Netflix's show Big Mouth. And apparently comedian John Mulaney, who voiced Chip in this, he does the voice of that character. Obviously, we have Pete from, you know, obviously every Disney thing
every
ever.
Disney, Goof Troop, Goofy Movie.
And then we had.
But he wasn't changed.
No, he looked exactly the same.
He looked exactly the same. He was just in Aladdin's Sultan costume.
He was in a movie called Welcome Prince. Or no, there's just a banner that says Welcome Prince Jolly.
Jolly.
So let's talk about this bootlegging thing, because that is one of my favorite things in the whole world. Sean used to work at Hollywood Video, and I would hang out there with him. And some of the parody videos were the funniest things in the world.
There was a specific studio that would just do this rebranding of all the big blockbusters.
Snakes on a Train.
Snakes on a Train. Yeah, I mean, I can't name them all, but it was almost an event when the original movie comes out. Within a week or two would be the generic bootleg version. You know, we'd get like a couple copies of that, and people would rent them.
Oh yeah,
I'd be like, what are you renting this for? I gotta see what it is, man.
I don't blame them, but I never watched any of those because they were always movies that weren't even. That
I got
good to
the movies
with.
For free and I never watched them.
I owe that place money, and I still never watched them. Yeah. No, don't worry about it. But so you wanted to talk about Peter Pan.
So, yes. So, well, let's talk about the whole bootlegging thing first, because in terms of a plot device, what did you think of that?
I thought it was interesting.
Yes.
It's something that we have not seen. Again, it's... So, basically, we did our TV to movies series, and we talked about the different ways you could do TVs to movies. You can change the genre, you can make it a continuation of the series, et cetera, et cetera. This one is unique in the fact that it is... a continuation, but not in the way expected. When they said they were going to do a Chippendale movie, we were like, oh, they'll probably just do, you know, Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
But then the trailer for this came out, and we're like, oh, they're going full meta with this. Yes. They're going full Roger Rabbit on this one. So for me, I think adding a real life element, like the bootlegging thing, I think it makes it perfect.
I mean, I thought it was a good plot device to make the overall arc of the story work. And the whole notion that these cartoon characters are in debt to this, you know, loan shark of a
the
guy
Valley Boys.
Who you don't know who it is at first, and if you can't pay up, they literally turn you in. They bootleg you. Mm-hmm. They turn you and you go off to another country and you make these bootleg movies. So you see it first off with Flounder. Like, they erase his mouth so he can't, you know, scream or say anything.
Yeah.
And they bootleg him to make him look almost close to what he looks like, but not exactly. And then they put him in a generic bootleg version of The Little Mermaid. And you're watching this, and I'm like, you know what? This is actually a really funny and somewhat upsetting idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I mean, it's similar to the Toons getting dipped. In Roger Rabbit.
Did you see the dip cameo?
I did. The second time around. Not the first time around.
I thought it was
today
really funny.
I did see it. But watching this, and I'm like, oh, this is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Not like dark, dark, but like it was enough of a, you know, troubling, you know, thing that you're like, oh, wow, this is kind of...
It's kind of sad.
Sad. You know, these characters are all like basically, you know, you can't recognize them anymore and, you know, whatever. So... lo and behold, they discover that the person in charge of all this, his name is... Wow, why am I... Pete. Well, what was it? Sneaky Pete or Shady... What was it?
Oh, Sweet Pete.
Sweet Pete, thank you. That totally erased my head. So, Sweet Pete. So, for me, and I think we just said this, not like... I mean, like, oh, if they're going with Pete, like the Pete character from like all the goofy cartoons and all that stuff, I'll be like, okay, that's a little predictable, but
a
they
bit,
did
yeah.
it. They go with Peter Pan. And not just Peter Pan. They go with an old, fat,
jaded,
40-plus-year-old Peter Pan. And I thought that was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
But when he describes how he got into what he's doing, I don't know if you know the backstory of the kid who actually voiced Peter Pan in the original.
I do not.
So the actor who voiced Peter Pan and was actually a big child actor for Disney... He was in a bunch of the Disney live-action movies. His name was Bobby Driscoll. I want to say he was also one of the first Mouseketeers in the original Mickey Mouse Club. So, I mean, this kid worked in a bunch of movies from, like, the age of probably 8 to, like, maybe 15, 16, 17. Of course, when he hits, you know, adulthood, and he starts to outgrow the roles that he is known for, and Disney basically throws him... says, we have no use for you anymore.
Aww.
You know, and he gets hooked on to drugs, and very much kind of like Alfalfa dies at a very young age. So like when he's describing like how he got to where he goes, I'm like, wow, that's a deep cut. And there was actually an article. I couldn't find it. It was an article a couple weeks ago, right after the movie came out, describing that whole thing. And like, I want to know if like they meant to do that. They had to know what they were doing when they were doing that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, but I thought that was just. I thought that was like, oh my God, this is like, nobody would know this. Like, like nobody would know that that really happened.
This is a great movie for people who are a lot older.
Yes. And, you know, that's why I said, I don't think this is a movie that like 10-year-olds will sit and be like, oh, I like this movie. No, this is for us.
I can see kids enjoying it and watching it.
They'll enjoy it, but for all different reasons.
Oh, absolutely. Because like, there's so many.
There's funny moments, you know, there's laugh, ha-ha, funny moments. But for you, me, for all of us who grew up in the 90s, who,
oh, this
you
is
know,
the love letter.
Seen all the Disney movies, who've seen all, you know, the different types of animation, you know, all the cameos. I mean, this is geared to us. This is geared to our generation, not to the generation of today.
I hope that this movie, well, A, I hope this movie gets some sort of sequel. I think it deserves it. I think there's a lot of great possibility for it. But I also hope that this movie inspires kids to watch some of these older cartoons. They're all readily available.
Oh, Disney Plus, to me, I love Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say what you want about Disney, you know, what you think of Disney as a corporation, whatever. But I think Disney Plus was the smartest thing they ever did by putting all of their old stuff onto one streaming platform.
Oh,
because
it was
before
genius.
That, you couldn't find this stuff anywhere. You couldn't find Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers on TV. You couldn't find Darkwing Duck or Gargoyles or Goof Troop. You couldn't find any of that. So the fact when they announced Disney Plus, and I remember we were still living in our house over, you know, and we were just like, oh, Disney Plus is coming out in a couple months, and they released like what was going to be on it. And I remember all of us like reading off the list, going like, oh my God, they got this, they got that.
Oh, we were so excited.
We were like, oh, I couldn't wait, I couldn't wait. I mean, like, just, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. I mean, not every movie they have, but they have a great amount of their old live action movies. They have, I think, every animated movie they did. So I think it was the smartest thing they did. So for kids today, you can go and show them these shows and, you know, start their fandom with this stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, I think that is fantastic. I mean, that to me was the big plus. And I agree with you. I hope we get another one, whether I'm still waiting for a Gargoyles movie.
Oh, God. I'm so surprised they didn't cameo in this. That would have been great.
That would have been great. I mean, you know, do a Goof Troop or another Goofy movie. Do something. I mean, you know, there's so much potential you can do with Disney Plus.
With a concept like this, absolutely.
With a concept like this, or just, again, I mean, you don't even have to do this concept. I mean, you could stick this with Chip and Dale. You could do a DuckTales movie and just have it be a DuckTales movie. I mean, you could do a Goof Troop movie, whatever. You know, there's so much out there that you could still do. Now, you know, whether they'll be good or not, we'll see. This was an interesting idea. This I compare this to the Brady Bunch movie in terms of taking a property and turning it on its head.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
From what we expected it to be. So I very much enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. Do you want to do a Star City Rave?
We can, but before we do that.
Before we do that.
My only gripe.
Oh, hit it.
Only gripe with this movie, and it's really not a gripe. I couldn't get past the voices.
I could understand that, I think, for the sake of Chip and Dale are known for their very high, squeaky voices.
And they do have the high, squeaky voices a couple of times, and it's funny. But I love John Mulaney, and I like Andy Samberg. I do. But their voices, to me, are just so them.
It's hard to differentiate them. They're not voice actors. They're themselves voicing themselves.
That's the
why
thing.
Like, I'm afraid to watch the Super Pets movie because it's Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And I love Dwayne Johnson. I love Kevin Hart.
I don't want to get into a huge sideshow here, but the history of animated movies, if you go back and watch like all the old Disney movies, I mean, you wouldn't know who's voicing who's voicing that. It wasn't until really like the late 90s when, you know, Mel Gibson voiced John Smith in Pocahontas was when we started getting these superstars voicing these characters. Now, most of the time they're good. Most of the time they fit the character and all that. They just, I don't know. There was something just off to me for these voices. I liked them. It grew on me as the movie progressed, but there was just still something missing. I was like, I'm sorry. It's just listening to John Mulaney and Andy Samberg. Like, there's nothing Chip and Dale about these voices. It's just them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
That was my only gripe.
That's fair.
That was my only gripe.
That's fair. It's
but
okay.
Star City rating, I give it 3.5.
I'm right there with you. I think the good is driven by the nostalgia for our generation. Our generation is going to enjoy this movie more than a younger generation because we grew up on all this stuff and we will watch the movie again, like Sean did, just for, you know, all the cameos and the this and the that and all these things. So for me, like, it even kind of makes me want to watch the show again. And I never really watched it.
And the beauty of, excuse me, the beauty of these old cartoon shows, minus Gargoyles, because Gargoyles was actually an arc show where you had to watch episode to episode. You know, DuckTales, this, Goof Troop. You could just watch a random episode and you're not missing out on a plot, you know, or anything like that. So you could just hop on Disney Plus and be like, play this episode, play that episode. And the episodes they name drop in the movie are actual episodes.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's like, I love to see where she's like, my favorite episode is this. And he's
when
like,
when you fish upon a star.
When you fish upon a star. He's watching the episode. And he's just like, oh, because of this. They're tied up. And oh, my gosh, he's tied up, honey.
Because she likes Thai food.
And then she's like, oh, well, Gadget was double-crossed. That's why I told you it was my favorite episode. Oh,
and
Chips is like, you went totally different, right? It's like, yeah, totally
different. And that's when those two shined, when the two of them, like, the deadpan with each other was really funny.
Yeah.
John Mulaney's famous for his deadpan, and then his big. Like, yes. And then Andy Samberg, I love Andy Samberg, and mm-hmm. I really enjoy his work.
No, I like both of them. I really do. I think John Mulaney's hysterical.
Yeah.
We really didn't go over the voices, but in terms of just some key voices between those two, I mean, it's Will Arnett is the voice of Peter Pan. I love Dennis Haysbert as the voice of the fly.
Of the zipper.
Zipper.
No, that was really funny. It's, again, I have a lot of logistical questions about the two of them, not only mating, but also procreating.
Yep.
Oh, God. It's horrifying. Let's see. We didn't even talk about Kiki Lane as Ellie Steckler.
She's like the main, the only real human.
Yeah, the
character.
Human
in the movie.
Character. And I like how they're like, you got a fake tip about Nickelodeon Junior Studios. I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, a deep cut.
J.K. Simmons as Putty, the low rent Gumby. I thought was great.
I do like how they played with the trope there.
Oh, absolutely.
Where it was like, well, she could be the bad guy, but he could also be the bad guy. No, it's too obvious if he's the bad guy. Yeah. I thought that was a lot of fun. Let's see. Keegan-Michael Key as the cheesemonger.
That was Keegan-Michael Key?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Tress MacNeil, she actually reprises her role
of Gadget.
As Gadget.
Now, was she originally Chip or Dale? She was originally one of them. I can't
remember. Was Gadget.
No, but she was also, I think, Chip or Dale in the original as well.
Gadget. I don't know about that, but... Now we got to look things up.
I got it.
Tim Robinson played Ugly Sonic, which is even funnier.
Now, who's Tim Robinson?
He's an actor.
Thank you, but you made it sound like that was something.
Because when I first read it, I thought it was Tim Robbins. I thought you'd appreciate that. When I was watching the movie before, I was like, is that Tim Robbins? No, Tim Robinson.
Yeah, Tress MacNeil was also Chip.
Oh, okay.
And Corey Burton was Dale. And I think Corey Burton cameos as a voice. I'm not sure of who.
Corey Burton briefly provides the voice acting for Dale's chipmunk voice, credited as high-pitched Dale.
And then, of course, Jim Cummings is still alive. And for any animation fans out there would know, Jim Cummings is like one of the gods of voice animation acting. He was the original voice of Monterey Jack. But in this movie, they get Eric Bana to voice Monterey Jack. Monterey Jack's in the movie for a whopping 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eric Bana's Australian, so it makes sense. But it's like... Okay,
why?
You know, it's kind of like, you know, when they did the Transformers movie and they cast Hugo Weaving as Megatron and didn't let Frank Welker do the voice, you know, so.
It really helped the movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty much.
But
what about you? You agreed with me on the Star City rating.
Yep, 3.5. Yeah. I think it is a solid film. It was way better than expected because these movies can go one way or the other, and sometimes it's the other. We're in the nostalgia era, though.
I'll be honest with you. I would have been shocked if I didn't like it at all.
Okay.
I would have been shocked. I was pretty confident I would enjoy the movie. How much I would enjoy it, I didn't know. But I was pretty confident I would enjoy this movie enough that I didn't want to never see it again.
Mm-hmm.
That would have surprised me if it was bad. But
yeah.
You know, it's happened.
Weird things have happened.
It's happened, so, you know.
All right, so that's going to bring us towards the end of our episode. Now, just a quick... I know. So, for Fan Feedback Friday, we're actually going to save the answers because we are going to do a Battle Royale episode with some famous movie and television characters where we're just going to pick randomly, and basically the episode's going to be called Who Would Win in a Fight?
You're making that list, man.
Oh, yeah, no. We're gonna have some fun with it.
Okay, but I'm just making sure you know you're making the list.
That's fine.
Okay. I know you.
Why are you yelling at
I'm
me?
I'm not yelling. This is yelling.
I'm going to include animation, too, in this.
That's fair. Yep. And I will give you all the credit in the world. If you come in with a list of, like, 100 things, mm-hmm. I'll be like, good for you.
I think the structure is going to be we're just going to pick them randomly, and then...
Oh!
And then...
Fold like, all the little pieces like of paper
you,
in a hat.
You pick one, I pick one, and ooh. Be who'd win in a fight, and we have to...
You have to figure out...
Yeah, figure out who'd all win. Right.
All right, have fun with that.
That'll be a fun one. So that's going to wrap us up for today. Don't forget, guys, if you want more of our content, you can go to our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links to not only this show, but also our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. You can also find the link to our store where we have all sorts of merchandise, including shirts, hoodies, stickers, you name it. We probably talked about making it eventually. Yeah, a couple of you name it. You can also find us on social media with Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, whatever it is. You type in the Misfit Faction, odds are you'll find some of our material.
How are the odds?
Never tell me the odds. Solid references today. You keep trying to trip me up because I'm
not
doing
trying to trip you up.
I'm doing my spiel at the end.
I'm teeing you up.
I don't. Are you?
Hey, you're good, man. You're good.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. But that's gonna wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean,
and we'll be back next week.
Will we?
I hate you.